Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 6th of May. We have a really exciting couple hours for you this Thursday. We're going to be speaking with former Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor, in just one moment. She's been invited to the state of Wisconsin to speak before the Bar Association, and that is their annual convention. She retired, as you know, in 2006 after spending 25 years on the nation's highest court, the first woman ever to serve on the United States Supreme Court. And since she retired, she has spent a great deal of her time promoting the importance of a fair and impartial judiciary. She will be with us to talk about a special project that she's engaged in, and that's to get our nation's young people to understand how in the world government works. We'll also be joined the first hour by Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who's a justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and state chair of Our Courts. And Our Courts is a civics education court-related program, and it's one of the reasons that Justice O'Connor has come to the state of Wisconsin, because she considers the program to be very good. Ted McConnell will also join us, executive director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. So all of that's coming up. How did you learn civics education? What do you think about the deplorable state as our – maybe you think it's not deplorable. Maybe you're a part of Wisconsin has a really good civics education program. I learned about civics sitting on the lap of my grandfather watching Meet the Press in Libertyville, Illinois, many, many years ago. And that did it. That sparked a lifelong interest in all things political. So all of that's coming up momentarily. The second hour of our program this Thursday, Alice Walker will be with us. The book that we're talking about, well, we're going to have a conversation with Alice Walker about writing, about her extraordinary life, about how she writes, about issues that are of concern to her. She's taken on issues of female genital mutilation. She has traveled all over the world. She's concerned about the women of Gaza. And she is very much a gardener and in touch with the soil and nature. She was involved in the civil rights movement. Alice Walker, The World Has Changed is the book. It's a series of conversations with Alice Walker, and she will be with us hour number two of our program this Thursday. And we also want to thank all of you who contributed during our one-day Wednesday pledge drive, which was yesterday. We had over 3,500 members pledge, and we're very pleased to welcome 691 new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. You donated. I think this is amazing, and it's so wonderful to do it in one day. Just get those phones ringing, make as much money as you can from the wonderful listeners, and then it's over at 7 o'clock. And you did donate over $326,000 to help the networks of Wisconsin Public Radio, your WPR station, and the programming that you depend on. So we thank you so much for keeping those phones ringing all day long yesterday, and it was a great way to have a fun drive. We won't be able to welcome phone calls the first half hour of our program today, just so you know that. As soon as Ted joins us, the executive director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools, I'm particularly interested in hearing, if you can squeeze a moment out of class or if you have today off, from those of you who might be teaching civics education in our schools. How are we going about doing that? Do students find this to be a really dull lesson? Are the materials for making civics education exciting? Obviously, we all understand, being public radio supporters, that this is a very important subject matter for all students, so they can become engaged and active members of the American democracy. And who knows, maybe even run for office sometime, thinking about political life, political service, which is so important. So when Ted joins us a little bit later, we will open the phone lines and ask you to join our conversation about civics education. We are now joined. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor will join us in a moment. Joining us now is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And one of the reasons that Justice O'Connor is coming here is because of the program that we have for court-related civics education. As you know, Justice O'Connor is going to be speaking to the Wisconsin Bar Association in about 20 minutes. Before that, she will speak with us. But we'll briefly talk about how she came to Wisconsin and what the program is here in the state of Wisconsin. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Kathleen.
So how did Justice O'Connor get to speak in Wisconsin? Was she impressed with the way that we teach court civics education here?
Well, we've followed what Justice O'Connor has been doing for years, and we've been trying to emulate some of the programs developed at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm.
And one of her programs, or programs that she's been very much involved with, is a teaching institute program. And we, in Wisconsin, then followed her lead and developed our own teaching institute, and it's been also emulated by neighboring states, where we bring in teachers from around our state to learn about education in the civics area, 3-day intensive program taught by justices and judges and lawyers. So that's one of our programs that we have piggybacked on with the United States Supreme Court.
So would it be your opinion that the way we teach civics is pretty dull? Until your program, of course.
until the R Courts program, the way that we have taught civics has been not as good as it could be. But we have an exciting new program available, I think, one that the students, and I've watched the students play these video games, which is part of the R Court initiative. You know, in the past, we've taught civics with textbooks, documentaries, taking students on class trips. But this is a new frontier. And
yes.
The new frontier is video games. So today we're launching the program here in Wisconsin, and we're honored to have Justice Sandra Day O'Connor be part of this program here today.
So you're in the world of video games. Those of us who are parents have mixed feelings about these video games. I've tried to learn how to use them. I just am not very successful. But it is what young people are doing right now. And I guess if you can make civics education exciting via video games and the media that they're accessing, more power to you.
That's exactly it, Kathleen. I'm a former high school teacher, and I have 4 children, so I know a little bit about what kids have been interested in the past and the present. I played these video games, and I'm humbled to say that I think some of the 8th graders here today are probably a little more advanced, even though I've been a justice on the court for 15 years here in Wisconsin, and a couple of the games are Know Your Rights, meaning Know Your Constitutional Rights, or Argument Wars, dealing with some of the landmark cases in our nation's history. And I have done fairly well, I think, would be a good assessment.
Well, you more than make up for it in what you're doing in your life, right?
Well, I try, Kathleen. And, you know, we have other programs here in Wisconsin, too. One of our programs is Court with Class. And over the last, I think it is, 14 years, we've brought in thousands of students from around the state to come in and listen to a Supreme Court oral argument, mostly middle students and high school students, and that's actually been a national award-winning program for us. I think over the course of the year, we've brought in 38,000 Wisconsin
students. Good for you. That is wonderful.
We're really proud of that.
So how do people plug into Wisconsin's programs?
Best way to do it is to go to our webpage here in Wisconsin, and that's wicourts.org.
wicourts.gov. Okay. And you'd be up for a video challenge if somebody...
Listen, give a call to my office and I'll play the video games with anyone. This is a statewide invitation. How's that?
Yeah, good for you. Is Justice O'Connor with you?
Indeed she is.
Okay. If you want to just pass the phone, and thank you so much for being with us. Let me just give her a brief intro. She is speaking in just moments, actually, before the Wisconsin Bar Association. She has a phenomenal background, and I'm interested in where she got her civics education. She has served in all 3 branches of government. And I guess we could ask her the question, which I will, how many Americans know what all 3 branches of government are? She says, we know other things, but we don't know that. She, of course, became a Supreme Court Justice on September 26th of 1981, the first woman to become a member of the court. She retired in 2005 and is now focused on the importance of a civic education and civic participation. Justice O'Connor, an honor to speak with you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome, Kathleen.
I know you gave a speech last week, and it was all about civic education, and you talked about the fact that most of us know who the judges on American Idol are, but we don't know what the three branches of government are.
Yes, barely one-third of Americans can even name the three branches of government, much less say what they do.
Why is that?
Because civics and government and even American history have been dropped as course requirements, even in high school, by at least half of our states today.
Half of the states, really?
Yes, and the other half aren't too enthused about it. And it just has become, it and is becoming, a thing of the past. And the only reason we got public schools to begin with was on the theory that we had a great need and obligation to teach every generation of young people about our system of government and how it worked, so that those students, when they became adults, could be part of it constructively. And we're losing that.
So is the best way to do this to incorporate it into a history class or whatever class, or is it to have civics education as a special part of your study?
Well, I don't think it matters, just so long as you cover it, so long as the students learn what is the structure and purpose and role of the branches of government, both at the federal and the state level, and how are citizens a part of it. That's critical for us.
It's critical. Why? Why do young people need to know that?
Because we have a democratic system of government requiring the citizens to make elective choices and to be part of deciding what our government can and should do. You have to be part of it.
How did you learn? I am fascinated by your background here. You grew up on a ranch. You're a woman who knows how to do it all, herd cattle, drive a truck, play cards. How did you learn about the workings of government? Because you've served in every branch.
Oh, in those days, we taught civics and government. That was a requirement. I don't think it was particularly exciting as a class, but we all had them. We all tried to learn it. I went to school in El Paso, Texas, because we didn't have a school near the ranch where I grew up and lived. And I lived with grandparents to go to school. And I remember thinking civics was kind of dull, and the only history I had was Texas history. I got a little tired of Stephen F. Austin.
You, of all people, thought it was dull, so you must have some recommendations about the way that this needs to be taught. How do you make it gripping?
Well, I think we've done a pretty good job with this Our Courts project. It's an interactive video game mechanism to engage middle schoolers, at least, in getting them to learn how government works, how the third branch of government anyway works, and we're expanding the games to deal with the other two branches shortly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to learn. Young people today spend on the average about 40 hours a week in front of some kind of a screen.
Isn't that something?
Whether it's television or computer. And all we need is a little bit of that time.
40 hours a week.
Them.
And why have you gone the video route? You're going to get some complaints that parents say are young.
Computer, not video, but you could play it, I guess, on a video. We need a computer screen.
Okay.
To do it, and we need that because that's our means of communication.
Mm-hmm. So you put in a disc or something in the thing, so it's a,
yes,
on your computer.
It's available on the web, and all you have to do is dial up the website, and you're there. That's all a teacher has to do, to put it in front of the class.
The information about the Our Courts project talks about exciting students through competition and through self-directed learning. How do we accomplish self-directed learning?
Well, because the our courts program offers a variety of games, and the student can go to whatever game they want to play and play it, and they'll learn in the process.
And they also compete with each other?
Well, in a sense, yes. They can do it with friends, classmates, whatever.
What about programs? I know there are programs like the UN program that bring young people together. Are there programs like that that you anticipating putting together that will look at the courts, or there will be mock congressional sessions for middle school students?
No, these interactive games are our mechanism for teaching. And there are many other things that can be done and things that most states try to do in some fashion, and that different groups try to do in other fashions. And I love the things that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has made available to students. There's no substitute for coming down to the state capitol and seeing it and seeing a case argued at the court here. That's a wonderful thing to do. It just is more difficult to organize.
Sure.
And more expensive for the states to provide that kind of thing than it is to turn on a computer in the classroom and get the kids playing the games. That's
right.
Inexpensive, it's free of charge, and very simple. So there are many ways to supplement it by taking the young people on the site to see a case and see a courtroom. And lawyers love to be volunteers and help students in that way. And I love all those things. They're great.
Sounds like fun, actually.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
We have to pick up one of these games.
I know.
What about, go back to what you said when you said half of all states do not teach civics education. I guess we also need to look at how to get all states to teach it via...
We do. As adult citizens in this country, I think we should find out what our own state is doing in this area. Is my state still engaged in making it a requirement for high school sort of thing? We, as adult citizens, we need to be aware of what our own state is doing.
Right. And are you worried that many states are not up to the level of Wisconsin?
Well, yes. I mean, we know many states are not. They're ignoring it. I think that's a real concern. The only reason we got public school education in the first place was to teach every generation now to be good citizens.
Mm-hmm.
That was the selling mechanism for having a public school.
Right.
We seem to have forgotten that.
Right. And there's something, too, about what happens. I started the show talking about my grandfather, who I used to go to his house every Sunday. We'd drive every Sunday, and he was a big fan of Meet the Press, Justice O'Connor, and I'd sit on his lap, and we would talk about what was going on in the world. And there's something about those early kinds of experiences. I'm sure you had them in your life.
It probably got you interested, and that's why you're involved in doing what you are today.
Right. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's those early kinds of experiences.
That stick with you.
Right. Yeah. They make a huge difference.
They do.
So this is, if people want more information, the whole program is outlined on the web, right? We can get more information on our courts.
There is a website, and it's www.ourcourts.org.
Ourcourts.org. Okay. And what are you going to talk about in just a few minutes before the Bar Association?
Well, we have later today in the Bar Association, I'm going to talk to them about my two topics of interest at the moment in improving civics education for young people. And secondly, in trying to make sure that more states avoid the hazards of having popular elections of judges.
Mm.
This state deal still does that. But I think that there is a better way to go. And I hope over time we will see most states go to a merit selection system.
Well, the amount of money keeps increasing, doesn't
it,
for these elections?
And it's very risky because if a candidate for judicial office accepts money from interested groups or individuals, It may well be the case that they end up having to decide cases involving those groups or interests. And that's not my idea of a fair and independent judicial system. I think that should be avoided. There was a case involving just that issue recently at the U.S. Supreme Court, where the court found there can be a due process violation in some circumstances with that situation. And none of our states started out electing judges. We started out like the federal government did, like the framers of our Constitution designed it, with an appointed system. It was when President Andrew Jackson was president. He was rather a populist, and he persuaded some states, the first being Georgia, to elect judges.
Really?
Yes, and unfortunately, a number of states followed suit, and we've had a hard time dealing with it ever since.
And what was his story? Why did he want that to happen?
I can't tell you. I wasn't there at the time. You'll have to go consult him.
Maybe we'll have to dig through things and find out. Is there how many states now have election of judges, popular election? Do you know?
At least 20.
It is 20.
Form of it.
And it is something that gets discussed every election season, but then people drop it.
Yes, unfortunately.
If you wouldn't mind, I just want, because you will forever be known as the first woman on the U.S. Supreme Court, that must just make you feel great. You talked, I know, just last week. And
well, it isn't me. I think President Ronald Reagan opened countless doors for women when he decided to put a woman on the Supreme Court. That was the important.
Yes, it was a great thing to have done. You talked about Canada in a speech last week, saying that they have four women on their nine-member court,
they
and
do.
One of theirs is a chief justice.
Exactly.
Why
they've
is
done
that?
Very well.
Why do they have that? And for us, it seems to be a slow-moving process.
I can't tell you that. Perhaps it's because of our lack of civics education.
Ah.
Might be a factor.
There you go. We've come full circle here, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for being with us this hour. Have you been to Wisconsin before?
Oh, yes, many times. It's a wonderful state and a beautiful state.
And it is one of those states, I know this sounds almost corny, but there is something about the civic engagement in this state that you don't find in other places.
I think you have
don't
an
you think?
Active group of citizens in this state. It's admirable.
Right.
And a real interest in the citizens.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Justice O'Connor, for being with us. Have a lovely day.
Yes.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
And that's Justice of the Supreme Court, retired Sandra Day O'Connor. If you want to go to ourcourts.org, you can get much more information about her campaign for civic education and civic participation. And also remember that there is a challenge. The Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Ann Walsh Bradley, is trying to get a little better at her video. Well, it's video gaming civic participation, and she will accept a challenge. It's kind of neat. For the state, our courts program. So go to that website and challenge her and get more information. We'll continue. We'll start taking phone calls now, too, about civic education and find out how we get people to be active members of this democracy. As Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said, how is it that we know we can name right off the bat one of the judges on American Idol and we can't name the three branches of our government? Come on. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. We continue our conversation with Ted McConnell, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ted McConnell is joining us now, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools, responsible for all aspects of the campaign's operation. Before joining this, he directed the campaign to promote civic education, a 50-state effort to revitalize and strengthen civic education at the state and district levels, an initiative of the Center for civic education. He has also served as coordinator of the Congressional Conferences on Civic Education, was a founding member of the CMS Executive and Steering Committees, and has been involved in the political, governmental, and nonprofit sectors for over 30 years, working in the management of over 30 other political campaigns across the country. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Ted. I guess the question that I would like to ask you and get you involved in this discussion is how we become better members of this democracy. How should we learn civic education? Is it a subject that you found dull and boring when you were a young person? Do we do it through computer games, through video games? Do we do it through competition? How important is it in this society? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hi, Ted. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. It's a great pleasure to be with you, and what an honor to follow Justice Bradley and a great American hero, Justice O'Connor.
Yeah, it's not a bad act to follow, right?
Well, my goodness, a little intimidating, but I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. So how deplorable, Ted, is the state of civics education in this country? Give us some statistics.
You bet. We have a civic learning crisis in this country, Kathleen. On the last national measurement we have on how well our students are performing in this area so vital to our nation's future, less than 25% of students could demonstrate a proficient understanding of civic learning. Less than a third of eighth graders could identify the historical purpose of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, my.
And less than 20% of high school students could explain how citizen participation is important to our country. Now, we do have a civic learning crisis in this country. You've asked, how can civic learning or civic education best be taught? In 2003, over 40 civic organizations, education groups, business groups joined together in the publication of a report coordinated by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, simply entitled The Civic Mission of Schools. In the report, the CMS report, we explained that the best way to strengthen civic learning in our country is through six approaches. It all starts with effective classroom instruction in government, history, law, and democracy. It includes guided discussion of current events in the classroom, which makes civic learning topics more interesting to students. It includes community and service learning programs linked to the curriculum, extracurricular activities in school and the community, simulations of democratic processes and procedures like Justice O'Connor's wonderful Our Courts programs, and meaningful student participation in school governance. Each of these six practices must be employed in schools to provide an effective, well-rounded civic learning experience.
Well, that sounds exciting to me. It sounds great. Why don't we do it?
A whole bunch of reasons. Starting with, really, going back to the late 1950s and great concern. Remember, well, you're probably too young to remember, but many of us with gray hair remember when the Soviets launched Sputnik. And we became very, very concerned in this country that we were falling behind in the scientific race. And so there began to be a great emphasis put on math and science, certainly important subjects. We've got to do better in these subjects to compete in the world economy. But we also have to be concerned about what kind of citizens, engaged, informed citizens, are doing the math and doing the science. You know, back in the old days, there were three distinct courses offered in most high schools across this country, including the typical How a Bill Becomes a Law course, which I will concede probably bored quite a few of us, but also courses like Problems in Democracy, which allowed students to explore contemporary events. Civic learning used to be woven throughout the elementary grades. Recent studies by the Center for Education Progress have shown that time allocated to the social studies and civic education in the elementary grades has been diminished significantly. Certainly, an overemphasis on a few subjects over all others is not good for civic education, mm-hmm. and I would submit is not good for the health of our country.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it's so important to the health of our country. We live, I'm stating the obvious, but this is a democracy. We have responsibilities.
Absolutely. A healthy democracy requires the informed and active participation of its citizens. For self-governance to work, our fellow citizens must understand and actively engage in the process. You know, as Justice O'Connor has said in many places around this country, knowledge about our government and the need for civic participation isn't something that's passed along in the gene pool. Students have to be taught. You know, Kathleen, we hear a lot today about the need to prepare students for college and career. That's vitally important to our country's future. But so is the need to prepare every single student, including new immigrants to this country, to take their place, to know their rights and responsibilities as American citizens, and to become engaged. And, you know, surveys have shown that young people today want to give back in record numbers, but they distrust becoming involved in governmental processes. They distrust anything to do with the government. This isn't healthy, and it's something we've got to do a better job in providing the necessary education on. And I will say, Wisconsin is a leader and innovator in civic learning in your schools. Wisconsin has fairly good social studies state standards, and social studies is included in your state assessment system. Sadly, there are only 20 states that have effective assessment in civic learning around the country.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is. Wisconsin has a very active, innovative, and engaged Council for the Social Studies and a dedicated core of social studies and civics teachers across the state. You've been blessed with state and district education leaders who understand the vital importance of this area, including Superintendents Benson, Burmaster, and Evers.
Oh, good for you. You know our state.
Benson, in the late 90s and early aughts, convened a civic education task force that made some very powerful recommendations that both he and Libby Burmaster have acted on. And Superintendent Burmaster was a national leader in this field. She was a founder of the National Center for Learning and Citizenship at the Education Commission of the States, and I'm proud to say a founder of the campaign I direct.
Mm-hmm.
There are incredible local superintendents there in Wisconsin, like Dr. Bill Hughes in Greendale, who is ensuring that his students in Greendale get an effective, well-rounded civic learning experience. And I have to say, the University of Wisconsin at Madison is a national leader in civic learning research and effective teacher preparation in this area. Dr. Diana Hess at the university is a nationally recognized expert in effective civic learning, frequently called upon by many national groups to lend her expertise. And, of course, you interviewed Justice Bradley. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has been very active in civic learning in the state, partnering with the university, the Bar Association, and providing great supplemental civic learning opportunities, as Justice Bradley mentioned.
Let's welcome phone calls for you, Ted. Ted McConnell is our guest this part of the show, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. And we start our calls with Janice from somewhere near La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Kathleen, and your guests. I mean, this just gets me kind of excited because I'm 61, but I remember, you know, back in campus school, which was part of La Crosse State College, whatever, back then. And in fifth and sixth grade, we had this fabulous teacher, Howard Fredericks, Mr. Fredericks, taught us social studies and current events. And we just looked forward to getting into that class because he made it so exciting. I mean, government, you know, world affairs, we had to read out of the newspaper, at least get one article, at least read one and maybe had to report on it. Current events, you know. I mean, it was exciting. I mean,
great.
Life was exciting. News was exciting. Of course, everything's on the Internet now, but this was, I just can't say enough how much, I couldn't wait to go to see, you know, Mr. Fredericks' social studies class because it was just, wow, what are we going to learn today, you know. So it was wonderful, and that's just piqued my interest, of course, in my country, which I'm very much into, you know, but I'm not I'm not a politician, but anyway. But thank you. I just, you know, can't say enough about going back, I guess, to the basics again of what this country, again, was founded on. I loved it. I love that history.
Oh, and you remember it so vividly so many years later, which is really nice, isn't it? The importance of a teacher. Ted, your response. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you, Janice, and God bless Dr. Fredericks. I hope he's still in the classroom or has influenced teachers all over the state. You know, the greatest predictor of student success in any academic subject is a well-qualified teacher in front of the classroom. Certainly, Dr. Fredericks is an example. There are teachers all over Wisconsin doing this. But we have to ask, is every Wisconsin school child receiving an equitable opportunity for civic learning? Many inner-city and rural schools who serve lower socioeconomic populations, have been so hammered by the need to improve reading scores and mathematics
yes.
scores that civic learning has been squeezed out of the curriculum in those schools. Ask everyone in Wisconsin, look into this for yourself. I think you suggested this, Kathleen. Contact your local superintendent. Contact your local school board. Find out for yourself, are your children, are your neighbors' kids getting an equitable opportunity for civic learning?
Well, plus we need all of these people to go run for school board, to be in government. There are a lot of, we need to prepare another generation to take over the reins of government.
Absolutely, and it all starts with effective civic learning. Just like in Libertyville, at your granddad's knee, you developed an interest in civic affairs. Certainly, there are many influences that help develop our civic character, our civic competency and disposition. The church, parents, social groups. But as Justice O'Connor pointed out, the one universal experience we all have to gain the knowledge and the skills for lifelong committed civic participation is in school.
I think you should be our teacher.
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm the benefit of great teachers like Justice O'Connor, who has developed this Our Courts program, available at www.ourcourts.org, is fabulous. It is cutting edge, and it's a coming trend in civic learning that makes this subject come alive for students. And I'm ashamed to admit the first time I played Argument Wars, one of the great games at the site, poor Mr. Gideon didn't get his rights. And the schools of Topeka weren't desegregated.
Oh, no!
These are challenging games, and everyone, students and adults alike, can learn from these incredible programs.
Oh, I'll bet they're fun.
Has developed.
They sound fun, too. That's great.
And may I mention, former Congressman Lee Hamilton, who is another co-chairman of our campaign for the civic mission of schools, is developing similar web-based games and interactive learning opportunities based on the congressional branch of government.
Great. That's wonderful. And then somebody will do the presidential.
Absolutely. Justice O'Connor is working on that.
Great. We're going to welcome more phone calls. Here's our phone number. Janice, thanks so much for your call. 800-486-8655. Our guest this half hour is Ted McConnell, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. We welcome your phone calls. If anybody is civically involved, it's people who listen to public radio. So how do we teach all of this? How do we teach about the way our government works? How do we get people interested in serving in whatever form? There are a lot of ways to serve to make this democracy work. Why do we find ourselves at this deplorable state where students don't know about the branches of government? Do we need to teach all of this in conjunction with, that was my favorite too in school, was current affairs, learning current affairs and then learning history and do we have time to do all of this in school, or have we found that we're really concentrating on a couple subject areas and we're neglecting some of the other areas that are just as important and make us good people to be living in this democracy, prepared, intelligent, knowledgeable, concerned, motivated? I could go on. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email address, if you would like to email this program, is talk@WPR.org, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number two of our program today, Alice Walker, will be with us. She is the feature of a new book, which is a series of interviews over the years compiled with Alice Walker, and they're always interviews of great substance. Alice, one of the most prolific and important writers of her time. She does literary fiction, including the Pulitzer Prize winning The Color Purple. She is first and foremost a poet, and she has worked tirelessly for the dispossessed around the world. Alice Walker will be joining us, hour number two. All right, let's go to phone calls for Ted McConnell, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. We go to Jean from Waupaca next. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Kathleen. This is a great subject. I love this subject. I went to school in the 50s. I'm 67 years old, and way back then we learned government right in our own classrooms. We had class elections, I think, from the time we were in third grade, and planned projects and figured out a way to pay for them. And then in seventh grade, we had Wisconsin history, and then we studied county government, township government, state government, more local. And we had projects where we had to interview older people about, and we learned why communities got settled where they did on the river for the trade and whatever. We had, when I was in high school, I was so honored to be selected as a student representative on a new town council that we set up to get some small factories into Wild Rose to provide jobs for kids when they got out of high school so they wouldn't have to move away. And, you know, there were lots of improvements, like improving the village parks, planting wild roses all over everywhere, planting trees out along the roadsides. So we got to really participate in the projects of government.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Ted.
Boy, Jean, you so exemplify that great Wisconsin spirit of getting involved in your community. And you benefited from some terrific civic learning when you were back in school. You know, we're talking about the discussion of current events in classrooms. In far too many classrooms today, teachers are afraid to bring up discussion of controversial or contemporary issues for fear of backlash. I mentioned the University of Wisconsin at Madison. They're doing groundbreaking research on how to effectively do guided discussion of current events. Again, Dr. Diana Hess at the university is leading that effort. But as I mentioned, young people today, they want to give back. You see it in their willingness to volunteer in the community. And we can capture this in a technique that's known as service learning. That is, learning about a community issue that's linked to classroom learning, where then students go out and participate in hands-on civics. And here again, Wisconsin has been an innovator in this field. Terry Derry at your Department of Public Instruction leads service learning there in Wisconsin, and I urge all educators in Wisconsin to get a hold of Terry Derry at the Department of Public Instruction and bring meaningful service learning linked to the classroom into your classrooms, into your schools.
Thanks for your call, Jean. Garrett from Madison. Hi, Garrett.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment that I graduated and went into high school in the early 2000s. I mean, I really experienced this whole movement toward math science. And now that I'm in college and almost want to graduate as a political science major, I really feel that something that's really important in Wisconsin to realize that civic duty is not just something that you can teach an option, it's responsibility. And that I was lucky enough to have a really good education and a really active teacher in high school really got me interested. Besides that, I'd probably disaffected as most of the kids I'm TAing and just not caring about the system at all, really.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we'd like to have you go on, but your phone is just a little erratic here. Ted, there's a story. He's involved.
Absolutely, but listen to what Garrett said, that he found that the emphasis on math and science and literacy were squeezing out his opportunities for civic learning. And he's discovered as a college student the importance of this kind of learning and the importance of civic engagement. I fear for students all over the country, that's a common experience, and they probably didn't receive the quality civic learning experiences that Garrett was able to receive in Wisconsin schools.
So are you calling then, Ted, for a very strong examination of what's going on with this testing? Because there is a whole lot of it, and as you cited, most states concentrate on math and on English and to the exclusion of other subjects. What do we do about that, the intense testing?
We live in an era of standards and assessment-based education, and we're calling on every single state, every single school district in the country to examine its approach to education, specifically its approach to civic learning. One of the reasons public education was founded in this country. We can do both. We can do better in instruction in literacy, in math and science, and in preparing every single student for their role as a citizen in this democracy. It doesn't have to be an either-or situation. The No Child Left Behind Act, or more technically, the Federal Elementary and Secondary Education Act, is up for renewal in Congress right now. We call upon people who are concerned about civic learning, about civic education, to contact. Be civically engaged. Contact your members of Congress in the House of Representatives and in the Senate and express to them that you want to see more opportunities for civic learning in the No Child Left Behind or Federal Elementary and Secondary Act. And then, again, contact your local superintendent, your local school board, and find out for yourself how they're dealing with these subjects. It isn't an either-or. We can do both, and it's vitally important to our country's future. We do so.
Kara, thanks for your call. Alice from Zion, Illinois. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Hello.
I would just like to make the comment that I believe that over the past, I would say, almost 40-year period, that it strikes me that the entire citizenry across the country really has been very apathetic about not only civics learning, but their own personal responsibilities and participation. If you just look at the statistics of the voting patterns across the country, it is very disappointing to work elections. I've worked elections now for more than 40 years.
Mm.
And I can just say that my personal opinion is that people don't realize that government is the people. It's not some entity out there that's going to just, you know, take off and make decisions and good or bad that you have to live with. It should be your daily life. It's everything in your own community. It's everything with your school systems. It's everything with your libraries. It's everything with your state and federal government. But I think our biggest mistake that we make is that it becomes this great institutionalized idea that you have to learn these specific facts. It can be very dull. It can be very boring if it's taught that way. But I think participation, I have taken preschool children and let them come in with sample ballots and let them vote at every election when
wonderful, and
when
they love
there's
it.
Time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea. Ted.
Bless you, Alice, for being civically engaged and helping out on elections. That's vitally, vitally important. You know, every state has state educational standards that deal with this topic. Unfortunately, in far too many states, they've thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, into their social studies standards, where it becomes a race to memorize dry facts of history, dates, and places, rather than exploring why it is important for a citizen to be engaged in their country. This leads to instruction that's dry, that's rote, that's memorization-based, and it doesn't have to be. As Justice O'Connor has pointed out through her Our Courts program, you can teach this subject in an exciting manner that truly engages the students. There are a wide variety of supplemental programs available to the schools, including programs run by the Wisconsin Bar Association. Just over the border in Chicago is the Constitutional Rights Foundation of Chicago, which runs very innovative programs. Street Law, the Center for Civic Education. There are a plethora of exciting programs that makes this subject come alive that teachers need to look into and become engaged in.
We have about 10 seconds. Can you give us one overall website?
www.civicmissionofschools.org, or do a web search for the Council for the Social Studies, either Wisconsin or national.
Wonderful. Oh, Ted, you're great. I hope you'll join us again. You were just wonderful.
It would be my pleasure. And Kathleen, thank you for shedding some great light on this issue.
Thank you, Ted. Ted McConnell, Executive Director of the Campaign for the Civic Mission of Schools. Thanks also to Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, and also to Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, retired. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Chrissy Pease for on-air production. We'll return.